Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the house of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here today. Each one of the Gospels that we have in our Bible, each one of the Gospels have this story. Now, it takes a different turn in each Gospel. Each Gospel has a couple different characters and maybe some different motivations. But we're in John today, so let's see what John is trying to tell us through this familiar story. So Mary is the sister of Martha. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the sister of Martha, who sat at the Lord's feet, remember, and Martha was busy, and she sat at the Lord's feet. And also, she's the sister of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead a couple chapters before. Mary takes this very, very expensive perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet. Why? Why does she do such a thing? What exactly is Mary doing here in this story? The story has several layers to it. You can exist in the surface, you can keep going down and peel back the layers in the story. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to go through the layers of this story and see what Mary's actually doing. And the entire time we're there, I want you to keep in the back of your mind, what is Mary doing? So layer number one, the top layer. Mary is letting Jesus know how she feels. You know, the end of the story is near, right? Mary knows that Jesus is marching to his death. Mary knows that she does not have much time left to be with Jesus. Jesus has been telling his disciples that he will undergo suffering and, of course, eventually die. But look at the other disciples in this story. They're just kicking back. They're just enjoying a meal with Jesus. They think nothing of it, possibly taking Jesus for granted. So Mary takes this opportunity, seizes this opportunity to show Jesus how much he means to her. Which is all well and good, but is this the appropriate time to do that? I mean, they're in the middle of a meal, and she's coming, and the women weren't allowed to dine with the men, so she's coming as an unwanted guest, and she's pouring perfume on you. They're trying to eat. The house smells like perfume. Is this really the most appropriate time to show Jesus how she feels? A couple of the other Gospels deal with this question. Is this really, you know, the appropriate venue to do this? This woman is interrupting our meal and really disrupting our entire setting here. I mean, I get that you like Jesus. I understand. We all like him. We're all devoted to him. But this might not be the place or the time for such measures, such gratitude, if you will. But Mary takes advantage of something that we all should by telling someone how much they mean to you. How many of us feel a certain way, but they want to wait until a more appropriate time and place to tell someone how they feel? I hear it at funerals all the time. I wish I had spent more time with him. Or I wish I had taken advantage of our time together to tell her how I feel. I challenge you today to find someone and tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much they matter to you. because there will never be a more appropriate time than right now. I do that sometimes with my daughters. I have three daughters. And I tell them all the time, I said, hey, you're a pretty good kid. And the response that I get back from each one of them is interesting, to say the least. Lauren, when I go to Lauren, sweet Lauren, when I go to Lauren, I say, hey, you're a pretty good kid. And she has a huge smile on her face, and she goes, you're a pretty good dad. And I go, oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Lauren. But then I may be riding in the car with Leah Grace, and I go, LG, you're a pretty good kid. And she goes, yeah. Like it's common knowledge. Like, I understand. I get it. You tell me all the time. I understand. Whatever. But then I tell Anna. I'm like, Anna, you're a pretty good kid. And she goes, I'm sorry my love is bothering you, Anna. God, that's crazy. But then occasionally, I will try it on Mary Frances, my wife. Occasionally, I'll do that. I'll say, Mary Frances, you know, you're not too bad. I like you a lot. And she goes, what do you want? Nothing. I don't want anything. But the Razorbacks are playing in like 5 minutes. So can we turn it off Downton Abbey or whatever you got going on here? Come on. Let's go back to our text. Mary is doing something we should all be taking advantage of. There is no time like the present to tell people how you feel. Tell people that are important to you that you love them. So there's your surface layer. You can stay on that layer. It's not bad. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let's peel back one layer. The perfume is quite expensive. 300 denarii. That's like a year's salary. The perfume is very expensive. This is a very generous act of service. I think there are times when we fool ourselves into thinking that the only thing that matters is our personal relationship with Jesus. You know, we're told time and time again, you should have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you should. But that's not all that you should have. I mean, in John, nothing could be further from the truth. Look at all the disciples that were around Jesus at that time, eating and fellowshipping during the meal. They all had a personal relationship with Jesus, but they didn't do anything. They were just sitting back eating. And then look at Mary. Mary is acting on this relationship. Mary knows that it's not okay just to simply have a relationship with Jesus. She's acting in service, letting that relationship motivate her to do something for the kingdom of God. And Jesus does the same thing. In the next couple chapters in John, Jesus will wash the feet of the disciples. At the Last Supper, Jesus gets down and takes the role of the servant and washes their feet. And it's very uncomfortable for the disciples to be there. They're like, should you really be doing this, Jesus? Jesus said, of course. Not only should I be doing it, you should be doing it too. This is what it means to follow me. We act in service. Discipleship in John means so much more than simply acknowledging Jesus. Discipleship means that you show your love in service to one another. Contrary to popular opinion, saying the words is simply not enough. You could say, I love Jesus and I want Jesus in my heart. Saying those words is awesome, but it's simply not enough. It doesn't work for any other relationship. Why would it work for the relationship that you have with God? So there's your second layer. But let's peel back even further. Let's go a little deeper into this story. Why can't we give this money to the poor? Why not sell this perfume and give it to the poor? Now here in John, the question is asked by Judas because he wants to steal. That's how John gets around this. So we discount the question because, well, he's just a thief and he's wanting to steal from the common purse. But it's a pretty good question to ask. And in the other gospel accounts, disciples, not just Judas, but other disciples are asking the question, why the waste? I don't understand what's going on here. If we're supposed to be helping the poor, then why are you wasting all of this perfume? And here is where worldly logic fails. Because what looks like waste is pure faithfulness. Faithfulness always looks wrong from the outside. I'm going to say that again. You guys can write it down if you want. Faithfulness always looks wrong from the outside. Look at Pentecost. You remember what happened in Pentecost? When all the disciples and all the followers were gathering together and the Holy Spirit comes down and they could all understand each other in their language? What did people on the outside say about that? They're drunk. They're crazy. They're out of their mind. No. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit. But from the outside, it looks foolish. What about giving away your money? That's what Tony was talking about here in the stewardship. What about giving away your money to God? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense outside the community of faith. Why give away your money? You earned that money. Don't give it away to God or anyone else. What about putting others first? What about caring for someone else before you care for yourself? In this self-centered society, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't help you get farther. What about responding to hate with love? You're supposed to respond to hate with greater hate, right? But if you respond to hate with love, it doesn't make any sense, and it looks wrong from the outside. None of this makes any sense apart from the faithful community. Mary is someone who is devoted to Jesus with everything she has. The most expensive item to the least expensive item, it's all Jesus's. She is devoting everything, even her life, to the service of Jesus. And also, if the objection is to give money to the poor, what do you think Jesus is? Jesus isn't rich. Jesus was a vagabond. He was going from city to city, town to town, relying on the generosity of others. And he would share meals with them, and he would teach them, but he didn't have any money either. Jesus is the poor. Not just physically, but spiritually and metaphorically, Jesus embodies the poor. Remember what he said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me? That's the poor. That's the underprivileged. If you want to know where to find Jesus, look to the poor. Look to the marginalized. You will find him. So there's your third layer. But I want to go even deeper. I want to peel back one more layer. Just for today, what is happening? Jesus is being anointed for something. He's being anointed for burial. Now, this may seem dark and disturbing, as it should, but something is going on here. Mary is announcing, through this act, Mary is announcing that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus has been trying to get people to say that and believe that and see that his entire ministry. That's where he started. He started by saying, I've come to bring good news to the poor and to announce that the kingdom of God is near. But the one who gets it, the one who really fully understands what Jesus is doing, is a woman who isn't even wanted at the meal to begin with. Mary gets it. Mary is embracing the kingdom and getting prepared for what's in store. Mary does something that makes everyone sit up and pay attention. Obviously, because we're talking about it some 2,000 years later, it's important what she did. So if we are followers of Christ, how are we making known that the kingdom is near? How are we letting people know that God's love and God's grace and God's mercy is active in our lives and that it's available to all? How are we doing what Mary did in this story? How are we letting people know that we are God's children and we are not going anywhere? That's the other thing that Mary's doing. Mary is standing in solidarity with Jesus. She's saying, I'm with you, Jesus. Let's do this thing. You know, Jesus has been talking to his disciples about going and dying. And all of the disciples are saying, do we really have to go through this? Surely there's another way, Lord. Surely there's something else you could be doing. But not Mary. Mary takes the perfume, pours it on Jesus' feet and says, I'm with you. Let's do this thing. You won't hear that in any sincerity from any other disciple. She knows that it means death. She knows that it means a dark, dark road. But she also knows, wherever Jesus leads, I will follow. So many others were running and hiding and scared and trying to avoid the inevitable. But Mary pledges herself, right here, right now, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm often been asked, what does it mean to be a Christian? Here it is, right here. Standing with Jesus, even when times are tough, even when it's dark, I'm with you. Let's do this. And Jesus says something that if it's not in context, you're going to think it's a little disturbing. You are always going to have the poor, is what Jesus says. But Jesus isn't marginalizing the poor. Jesus isn't dismissing the poor. Jesus is focused on what is happening right then. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you are always going to have the poor, and I highly recommend you care for them. That's what we've been doing this whole time, is caring for the poor. But let's take a few minutes right here, right now, and get ourselves ready for this. Because it's going to be much worse before it gets better. And when we gather in this space as Forest Park, when we gather here for an hour on Sunday, we are doing the very same thing. We're getting to spend some quality time with God so that when we leave this place, when we go back out into the world, we are prepared. We can face whatever comes our way. By Jesus accepting Mary's gift, he is also saying something. He is saying, people are going to run. People are going to hide. And you will feel like you're all alone. But you know as well as I do that if you're with me, then I'm with you. Let's indeed do this thing together. The same promise, the same exact promise is made to each and every one of us here today. God's words are very, very clear. I will always be with you. Thanks be to God.